Church, welcome back. It's our last Sunday social for this year. It's been a roller coaster. It's been a challenging year, but well done. I think all of us need a bit of R&R, rest and relaxation. But more than that, I want to look at something else today. I want to look at a biblical rest. We probably need R&R this coming holiday season. Now, I had the vision in this week as I was pondering and just meditating upon the word and waiting on the Lord. And what I saw was a mirage. Now, a mirage is the following. A mirage is something which you see when it is extremely hot, for example, in a desert, and which appears to be quite near, but is actually a long way away or does not really exist. Now, I think you all have seen movies where a guy is crawling through the desert. It's obviously hot and he's obviously thirsty and he just needs water. And then he sees this mirage thinking that it's an oasis. And I'm very sensitive in saying this, but I just realized in my own life, and I've learned this the hard way, that I need to be careful when it comes to holiday and holiday times and holiday seasons, that I don't fall for the trick of the enemy and of the flesh, that it's a mere mirage and not a real oasis. In other words, it's not somewhere where I will find rest. It's not something where I will drink and be satisfied. It's not something where Zoe life, Holy Spirit life will be. And so let's stop before we get too excited and make sure we clothe ourselves with biblical truth when it comes to rest and holiday. The last thing that any of us want is to end up hitting a mirage and having a holiday time that is not something that satisfies us after a very tough year. We want, along with the Word and the Spirit and the grace of Jesus Christ, want to be filled up, rested well, and then we want to be ready for next year. So let's pray together and trust that Jesus will do exactly that. Let's pray. Lord, we turn to you. We know and we have seen before, Lord, that often we have such high hope for the end of the year, such high hope for some sort of breakthrough or something that we think we need. Yet when we get there or when we partake in that particular thing, it does not satisfy the heart. It does not satisfy the soul. And it does not completely satisfy us for what lies ahead. So we stop, Lord. We say, Holy Spirit, please come and convict. Please come and teach. Please come and show us. Now, even before we go into a time of rest, that we will rest well, that we will rest biblically, that we will rest as God ordained us to rest. And so that we can be a people that run and keep on running come next year. Jesus, please help us. You are the Prince of Peace. You're the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You're the way, the truth, and the life. We turn wholeheartedly to you and say, please, we are thirsty. Some of us have been going through a desert as such. It's been a tough season. We look not to the holidays. We look not firstly to time off. We look firstly to Christ. And we say, please help us and lead us, even through this time where we need a break. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now you might think, well, Retief, I don't have any days leave for this year, and so I might as well just skip this message. But I want you just to wait. This message, I believe, and what the scripture and the Lord will teach us today is applicable not only for holidays, but in all of our lives and for everyone. And so let's look at what the word says and trust that the Lord will come and empower us. Now, like I did last time, I firstly quickly want to give some context and lay a foundation. We're talking about rest. We're trusting for shalom peace. We're trusting for real peace. We're trusting for an oasis and not a mirage. We're trusting for living water, something that will really help us, bless us, and sustain us, and not something that is fake that will actually leave us bone dry or even more thirsty come 2021. Now, foundationally, before we look at biblical rest, I just foundationally want to lay two things down for us. And the first thing is that we are triune beings, meaning that we are body, soul, and spirit. And so body, soul, and spirit, we also need to rest. Today we'll be focusing more obviously upon the spiritual part of us, which I believe is the primary part of us that needs good rest in the Lord. Zoe life, as we know by now, life of the spirit, God-like life that our spirit man needs. And then as our spirit then takes lead, it will be the best for our whole lives. But please, foundationally, don't hear me saying that we don't need rest for our bodies. We don't physically need to stop. Yes, we also need to stop. But we cannot physically stop without giving attention to our spirit man. We cannot stop and only wallow in the things of the soul and not give attention to our spirit. We need a godly balance. But primarily, it starts off by looking after your spirit man. Yes, still go away. Yes, still go camping as the Lord leads. Yes, still go out for that takeaways or go do that thing with the friends or the family that you had planned. Do not stop doing that. But let's do it biblically. Let's not do it on our own. Let's do it relationally with the Lord. And I'll explain that just now. So the first thing you need to remember is have the balance. Have the balance in your rest. The second thing is Sabbath. Now, I think you all have heard the word before. Let's quickly read in Genesis 2. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. And so God himself took a break. He rested. And then in Exodus 20, you'll go and read that he then made it a law, part of his law upon his people, to have the Sabbath as a holy day. They needed to partake in the Sabbath. So these rules were given to them for their benefit. We now also know by now that we were made in God's image and likeness. And so if God took some rest out, then we also need some rest. So from the Sabbath being a rest day, in the Old Covenant, we see a couple of things. Namely, that firstly, by design, we need rest. By design, God made it that we need rest. Secondly, we fall apart. We don't make it if we don't take rest. So take heed. We need to rest. Thirdly, it's a way in which we can trust God. In other words, you're not trusting in your finance. You're not trusting in the work of your hands and being controlled 24/7 of everything. You stop. You turn your countenance, your attention, your focus, your time, your effort, so to speak, to God. And you spend time with him, adhering to what he calls you to do so that he can stay God in your life and not other things become God in your life. Which brings me to the fourth thing from the Sabbath. It avoids or helps God's people to avoid idolatry. So taking that break, taking that rest is so important, not only for our own well-being, not to fall apart, but also to keep our relationship with God right. And so in the law of Moses and in the Old Covenant, it was always said to be the law upon man. In other words, the rules was written down and it was given to people, but they couldn't do it. We cannot adhere to the law of the Old Covenant. But the law that was upon man became, in the New Covenant dispensation, through Christ Jesus and his Holy Spirit, now the law within man. So adhering to the rules became, I want to do this. I want to adhere to what the Lord calls me. And this is the specific thing that the Lord has asked me through his Spirit. Romans 8 says that the Spirit's law of life is now written on our hearts. And so we read in Philippians also that the Lord says that he will lead us both to will and to do for his good purposes. In other words, he will help us. He will help us. You remember out of Ezekiel, something we've quoted many times before, that the Lord said, and I will give you a new heart, and I will cleanse you, and I will, and I will, and I will. So even when it comes to rest and looking at the Sabbath, going from the Old Covenant to the New Covenant, we need to start thinking, Lord, how does the inside-out thing work here? Where is it written now that we want to rest in you and with you? So let's look at Matthew 12 just quickly as we lay this foundation. At the time Jesus passed through the grain fields and on the Sabbath, his disciples were hungry and began to pick and eat some heads of grain. That was obviously not permissible in terms of the law. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath. He said to them, Haven't you read that David did when he and those who were with him were hungry? How he entered the house of God and how they ate the sacred bread, which is not lawful for him or for those with him to eat, but only for the priests. And then in verse 7, if you had known what it means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. This particular part, also in the Gospel of Mark, says the following. Then he told them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. And so the old covenant, the law upon man, the rules and the regulations that was formerly given to man was then fulfilled through Christ. And then even Christ coming to fulfill, I believe, the Sabbath, to now become the rules within man, that he will help us, that he will walk with us, and that he will help us to be a people of rest. As he is also, not only is he our rest, not only is he our peace, but he's also the Lord of our rest. And so, as the Holy Spirit breaks this open, we see here that the Sabbath was made for us. You remember that the Old Covenant, or the Old Testament, is the shadow, and yet the substance, the real, comes through Jesus Christ. The prophecies and everything, almost everything, just points where? Points to the Messiah, points to Jesus. And so in Jesus, as it's fulfilled, as he is the substance of rest, and the substance of the rest that's been given to us, now we can see that the Sabbath, the heart of it, is actually for us. Secondly, he is now our rest. In him we live, move, and have our being. Acts 17:28. In him we live, move, and have our being. And then lastly, as I said, we see now that he is the Lord of the Sabbath. He is the Lord of our rest. Now, how does it get fulfilled within the new covenant dispensation? How did Jesus fulfill the Sabbath? Firstly, he became our righteousness. You do not have to fight and be righteous in and of yourself. You cannot adhere to the law, and so he fulfilled it on your behalf, and now by faith you receive it. Likewise, by faith you receive peace and rest. By faith in Christ, you receive your Sabbath rest. He then is also the Lord of the Sabbath. In other words, he becomes my peace, but he then also says, I want to be the Lord of your rest. And so Lord means, just in the Hebrew, Kyrios, that is supreme in authority, controller, God, Lord, Master, or Sir. That's quite hectic. So Jesus says that I am the Lord of rest. And so where do I go as being a follower of Christ? Where can I find directions of how to rest? From the Lord of my rest, being Jesus Christ, through whom the Holy Spirit that is now deposited into my life. What does this mean, Retief? Is it Saturday? Is it Sunday? No, stop. The Pharisee said, but you're not keeping the rules. And Jesus said, hello, I am the heart of it. It is for man, not man for the Sabbath. I am the rest. In Matthew 11, go read it. We don't have time for it today. But in Matthew 11, that just precedes this part, he actually refers to himself being the rest for our souls. And so it sets up this part where he says, hey guys, you're missing the point. It's not about the formula, it's about the substance. It's about the heart. It is about Jesus. Jesus being our rest. So why is this foundation important? Because if you find yourself in a desert, if you find yourself bone dry, if you find yourself thinking, if only I can get to December holiday, chances are, well, being a believer, is that you maybe didn't rest with the Lord of the Sabbath throughout the year. And so, foundationally, I need to go stand still because I've been close to burning out one or two times. I've been so tired many times. And so, I need to stand still and say, Jesus, were you honestly and truthfully Lord over my rest this year? Did I listen to you when you said stop for a day? Did I listen when you said lay down those boundaries and wait upon me rather. Drink from me. And now I need to repent if I didn't. If I'm so looking forward to a holiday time, but I didn't find my rest throughout the year in Christ, I can just say, sorry, Lord, please forgive me. So that I don't set myself up for a mirage, but that I can hit that oasis with the Lord in this time. And then secondly, I lay down this foundation very quickly so that we can give a holiday time to Him. Otherwise, we are so excited about this rest time, but we might just end up in the flesh and become more thirsty, more hungry, and even more tired than we were before. And so now I can firstly repent and then secondly say, Lord of the Sabbath, Lord of my rest, here is my resting time. I want to do it with you. I want the substance of rest. I want the substance of biblical rest. I note that yes, we need to take time out. But relationally show me how. Relationally show me how. Firstly, to receive from you. But then secondly, also to listen to your lordship over my rest. Now that we've laid a bit of a foundation, I don't know about you, but have you ever sat down and planned your dream holiday, your dream destination, and what you should eat and drink and wear, and where you should go? I think we all have done that. But as I've said today, is that we need real rest and we need biblical rest. Even though it's not the fondest thing to hear for the flesh, it is so important that we have real rest so that we can bear the real fruit and godly fruit next year. And so that we can finish our race with the Lord. And so dream with me as we plan a dream holiday for real rest. Now, where do you want to go? What is that destination that you desperately want to go, where you believe that if you go there, it will be amazing? I've got a couple. I've been in Switzerland and Austria before, and I've been all over Europe, and I've been to Mauritius, and I'm very thankful for that. And there's a couple of places that I've said to Edna, I would love to take you there. I would love to take the kids there one day. And likewise, she wanted to take me. And so we've had these discussions before, and the amazing things that you've seen. I don't know about you, but maybe you've seen stuff on social media or have heard somebody tell these stories of these epic destinations. Yet, you also know that people can be on an island with a pina colada and they can have everything that their flesh desires, but yet if there's not peace and real rest on the inside, if there's not an inside out holiday, and if I want to say the Lord of holiday does not stay in their hearts, they are going to get back home just wanting to go on another trip and another trip and on another trip. And so dream with me, but also bear with me as we look at our first place, our destination. Where are we going to go for a dream real rest holiday? Let's read together. Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You've guessed it. Our destination is Jesus. He says, come to me, all who are weary. If you are tired and looking forward just for the holiday, for the end of December to come, if you're looking forward to that, Jesus says, hey, I've got a ticket and I'm the destination. Come to me if you're tired and I will give you rest for your soul. Not only is this the right destination for a real dream holiday, but it gives a promise from the Word that you will find rest for your soul. Now, you might be going to Hartenbosch or Margate or the Free State or Kokenaap or to Langebaan. You might go camping or you might stay home and camp in the backyard. You might have money to go away, you might not have money to go away, but this destination gives a promise. The destination of Jesus Christ Himself, the person of Jesus Christ Himself, gives you the promise that you will find rest for your soul. So our primary destination is Christ. And in His presence, everything changes. Does that mean we don't go away, we all stay at home? No, but when we do go away, we go with Christ, making sure we connect with Him. We are aware of Him. We connect in His Word, we connect with prayer. And primarily, we know that only He can be the ultimate destination and to give our souls rest. For a couple of years, I desperately wanted to go hunting, and I just so wanted to spend time in the veld and spend time with my friends and obviously get some biltong along the lines of going through the whole process, which I won't go into detail today. But then an opportunity arose and somebody took me with and we went on this amazing trip, and it was really such a blessing. But it lacked something the whole time. So we were there for a couple of days. And then one day I had the privilege just to put what the biltong to be on the back of the bucky and take it to the farm gate and wait there for somebody to come and pick it up. And I was on my own and I needed to wait for about a half an hour or so. Luckily I had my Bible and I flipped open my word and I was just reading through the Bible and I prayed. And all of a sudden the Lord just pitched in the front of that bucky in the Karoo, and he just whacked me. His presence just blessed me out of my socks, and I had such a cooking quiet time with the Lord, and I was filled to the brim. I came back home, and obviously later on we got the biltong, and I was really thankful to have gone on this trip. But you know what stood out more than the camaraderie and being out there and the hunting and the biltong was the moment I had with Jesus in that bucky. It far exceeded everything else. So it wasn't the destination. I had a rude awakening that it was actually about Him, the Lord of the Sabbath, the one that is my rest, the one that is also the Lord of my heart. And so that was just an eye-opener that day for me. So now that we know our destination, you also know that in holiday times we have a tendency in our culture to maybe eat a little bit too much and eat nice things if we are privileged to do so. And so what are we going to eat on our dream holiday, you think? Well, I think you've guessed it. Let's look at the word. John 6:51 says, "I am the living bread that come down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." And so what you need to eat on your holiday, albeit if you're here or in Kokonop, make sure you eat the bread of life, because that is the one that is eternal and that will truly sustain. Jammer tannie, maar die trifle and our second helping of trifle, that will not cut it. It will not fulfill your soul. Having another braai will not fulfill your soul. Going out for takeaways will not fulfill your soul. Are those things wrong? No. But do it with God, keeping your focus upon and your hunger for Him being the living bread, the only one that can fulfill and satisfy your hungry soul. So what are we going to eat this holiday? We're going to eat the bread of life. Jesus says in John 4:34, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work." And so even in walking with Christ, walking with the Lord of the Sabbath, trust Him to be His hands and feet wherever you go. And as you do the things that is on God's heart, it will bring satisfaction and fulfillment to your heart. Loving others, serving others, blessing others with the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we've dealt with this year, and constantly just being in that flow of the Lord will ensure that you are satisfied and will in fact be spiritual food to your life. And so now, what are we going to drink when we go on our dream holiday that will satisfy our souls? Let's read in Isaiah 55. "Come everyone who is thirsty, come to the waters. And you without money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why do you spend money on what is not food, or your wages on what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and you will enjoy the choicest foods." Now this being in the Old Testament already, the Lord prophetically speaking there, and today we can clearly see by the grace of the Holy Spirit what He is saying. He's saying, guys, be careful that you do not spend your time and your money and your effort eating and drinking the stuff that cannot satisfy. Yes, it's amazing to have nice moments, and please, you know I love a bikkie braai. But without God, it cannot satisfy. Without Him being my primary focus and the one that feeds me and it quenches my thirst, that will leave me dry and empty. And so the Lord here says, if you don't have money, come eat from me. So holiday and true rest and true holiday doesn't need a budget. But it needs faith. It needs affection and attention turned to the Lord and saying, Lord, please come and fill me. Fill me with your choicest food. Lord, fill me with your living waters. I'm thirsty and I'm hungry. John 7:37, one of our cornerstone scriptures for this year. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living waters. Guys, make sure that the holiday time is within context, not a mirage, but an oasis. And here is how. He says, come to me and drink. Come to me, all who are thirsty, and come and drink. Jesus says, come. I am the rest. I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. I'm actually what you need. I'm actually what you want. I am the oasis and I'm not the mirage. I am the oasis and I'm not the mirage. The beauty is that if we on and in this holiday time go drink of Him, not only do we quench our own thirst, our real thirst, our spiritual thirst, our eternal thirst, the one place that can truly satisfy, not only do we fill ourselves, but we become that to the others around us. We become that to those that are thirsty around us. That sounds like true rest and true holiday to me. And lastly, we now know the destination. We know what we need to eat. We know what we need to drink. And now, what are we going to wear? Is it beach wear? Are we going skiing? Are we going surfing? Do we need to dress up for this occasion? What do we need to wear for this dream holiday for real rest? Very simply, Romans 13:14 says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no plans to satisfy the fleshly desires. Clothe yourself with Jesus. You can either try to have holiday in the flesh, reaping the flesh, and coming back bone dry and thirsty, or you can with the Lord say, Christ, I want to clothe me with you. Come and grace me to know you, to read your word, to know who I am in you, so that when I do then go on this holiday, that it will be one in the Spirit, led by the Spirit, and not the flesh. Real rest will help us to run on next year. Real rest will help us to run on next year. I know you're like, Retief, I just want to hit that finish line before you even start talking about another lap. But I want to encourage you that the Lord has created more than enough. He's given us more than enough. And Christ, the Lord of our rest, Christ, the fulfillment of our Sabbath, the one that will lead you how to do rest, He is in you and He is enough. And He will help you not only to finish this race, to rest well and to hit another lap. That is who He is. Have faith. Ask Him and trust Him. In Hebrews 3:19 it says, so we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. Now if you go read Hebrews 3, it's just simply referring to Israel hardening their hearts, not listening to the voice of the Lord, hardening their hearts, and then not being able to enter His rest. Today maybe all of us are sitting and listening to the Word of God, and we need it now to decide, man, but I've got such good plans. Man, that's going to be so good. That destination, that what we're planning, that menu, what we're planning to drink, that's just going to be. But we need to stop and make sure, firstly, before we enjoy the other things in the Lord and with the Lord that He grants us, firstly, we need to make sure, do I have faith in Christ? Is He my destination, firstly? Is He what I'm going to eat, firstly? Is He what I'm going to drink, firstly? And then, is Jesus what I'm going to wear, firstly? I want to pray with you. I'm going to encourage you that as you take this word home and as you then practically make it your own, being aware of Him saying, here's my holiday, you know better. You are rest. Please help me. As you do that, I'm going to trust that the Holy Spirit gives you one of the most amazing times out of your life. And if you say, as I said before, I can't even go on holiday, we're just going to stay home. You can go on holiday. Christ the destination is there. Christ the bread is there. Christ the living waters is there and through you for others there. and Christ to be clothed with is there. We can all have real rest. This is obviously also not applicable only upon the holiday time, but Christ is your rest throughout the year. But especially in this time, let's be wise. Let's trust the Holy Spirit, and as we pray now, let's trust that the Lord will set us up not to be disappointed, not to hit a mirage, but to hit His godly spiritual oasis, to be a strong people of God, a faithful people of God, a people that really rest well, and from rest, run into next year. Let's pray. Lord, I firstly want to repent where I missed You this year, and we repent, Lord, where we missed You this year in not having a Sabbath as Your Holy Spirit leads us individually to do, Lord. That we didn't take that rest times, that rest days, our faith in You, and also listen to what You call us to do in resting this year. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for sitting with a backlog, maybe, of needing a break. We now see through Your word the shadow and then the substance in the new covenant that You want to give us rest, but You also need to be the Lord of our rest. And so, Lord, I come and give my holiday and my family to You and this church community as far as I may. I pray that You will give true rest, Christ's rest, to all of us. Lord, thank You that even though it's tongue-in-cheek and I say it in love, Lord, that Jesus, that truthfully and honestly, You be our first destination, that You will be what we eat firstly every day, that we will do it with You, that You will be what we drink spiritually, and that You will be what we wear spiritually, so that our bodies will be refreshed, but also those around us. Jesus, we need help. But You came, lay down Your life to give us help, to give us peace, and to give us rest. We receive that by faith, and we say, please lead us through the rest of this year into the next. We honor You, we worship You, and we thank You. Prince of Peace, Lord of our Sabbath, Lord of our hearts, and Lord of our families and of our church. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm encouraged. I'm looking forward to hear your testimonies come January. We're looking forward as the church will picnic next weekend. And I hope you really have a blessed time of resting in the Lord. Have a great week. God bless. Bye.